especially as an asset manager, it's your property, you take charge. So that was one of the big things that I learned early on, is that never assume everyone's on the same page. You make sure everyone's on the same page.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. We got another solo episode for you, just me. So strap in. We're talking all things property management and asset management. Most of you are probably familiar with that term, and I feel a lot of podcasts and other real estate investors love talking about finding a deal, acquiring the deal, raising money for the deal, and then selling the deal and making money, because that's obviously the sexy story. That's what everyone wants to talk about. I love talking about that. Don't get me wrong. You hear a lot of people say success in real estate investing comes from the purchase, right? Buying at the right price. And I won't argue with that. That's true. You need to buy at the right price. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But what a lot of people don't also say or bring up is the fact that you need to be able to manage that asset, that project correctly. When it comes down to management, it doesn't matter what you buy the price at. If you manage this project poorly, it doesn't matter how good of a deal you got, you could lose a lot of money. And there's tons of stories out there of people losing their shirt because they don't know how to manage the property. They don't know how to manage the construction, the renovations, the tenants, everything. They're just really poor at it. And that can turn a great deal into a terrible deal. And that's another reason why you need to do your due diligence for those passive investors out there. You need to do your due diligence on the operator and the syndicator. You really need to know where your money's going. You need to know their track record, how they operate. And don't get me wrong, for those newer investors out there that maybe don't have that track record, I'm not on here trying to say that investors shouldn't be partnering with you, but if you're going to be a steward of someone's money, then in my opinion, you should be partnering with someone who has a track record that can oversee and steer you in the correct direction. And that also goes to the point of, should you start with large multis or should you start with smaller multis? And to me, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that. It all depends on kind of your risk profile and also who you may be partnering with. But for me, out of the gate, if I went back in time and you asked me that question, I want to go big immediately, right? Because I come from my background in finance. I understand the importance of scale because I come from that institutional background. I get that size of scale and operating it like a business, not as a piece of real estate, as a business. However, I didn't go that route. As you all know, I started off with smaller multis, grew up to a portfolio of 25 units, 25 doors. And then that's when I made the leap into the bigger stuff. And I'm so happy I did that. I don't take that for granted at all. I do not regret it at all because I really learned how to operate. And now I'm not on here to like pump up my chest and say I'm the best operator, because I know I'm new to the game. I'm not someone who has decades and decades of experience. I've been in the real estate game since 2016. So we're talking 5-6 years now, but I've also partnered with people that have decades of experience and I've learned from them. And I think that's what's really important, is obviously doing everything you can to learn and learn through experience, but also learn from others that have gone before you. But to my point of operating the smaller units, is you're into the day-to-day grind of it. Because unlike a large 100-plus unit facility, a smaller property can't afford on-site staff. You don't have on-site staff. It's on-site every day. And what that does is that eliminates you needing to take care of everything that goes on at the property. You're not going to know that maybe someone's toilet in unit 101 is not working, or the HVAC in this building is down. You're not going to know that on a bigger unit, but or a bigger size property, but in a small multi, you're going to know that, especially if you're self-managing. They're going to be reaching out to you. And I usually say you should self-manage up until 10 units. Obviously, right out of the gate, you can have management. I did. I would say you shouldn't self-manage above 10 units. Then you'll get those. I've heard this in my career where people second guess, at least when I was starting off, they're obviously not second guessing me when it comes to these bigger complexes, but they questioned why I was using property management for small multis. Like, it eats so much away at your return. And it just goes back to, yeah, but what is your time worth? You're paying from 6 to 10% on small multis. Now, what does that come out to be an hour? I know it's going to be significantly less than what I know I should be paid. So I shouldn't be allocating my time to manage the day-to-day of all these smaller multi-unit properties. It's just not advantageous. It's not cost-effective. I should be spending my time to go find more of these deals to network and find more investors, find more, develop relationships with more brokers to find more deals. Because in the long run, that's going to make me more money, make my investors more money, not me managing the day-to-day. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean I am hands-off, because that's not what it means. You still have to manage the manager. And that's what asset management is. You're managing the manager. Because at the end of the day, there's no perfect property management company. No one's going to love that asset as much as you. No one's going to want to see that success from that asset as much as you want to see it. So always keep that in mind. So I just want to get into first picking a manager, right? What you should be looking for, how you should be going about this. And then once you have that, how to manage them. Now, I just want to get into some real nitty-gritty details. And because like I said, I started right out of the gate with my first property I ever bought was a triplex. Or three family for those of my fellow Bostonians. So a three family, I got a property manager out of the gate because I knew that it was the right price to buy this property. I knew it was a great investment, but I hadn't been in the property management business before. I didn't know all the tricks and games that tenants will play. There's what I call professional tenants that know all the tips and tricks to get out of paying, to make your life miserable. And I didn't want to learn all those the hard way. And also there's something called the fair housing laws. And I didn't know what all those were. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know what I can and can't do. And but don't get me wrong, I'll learn what I can and can't do. But right out of the gate, I didn't want to find it the hard way and do something I'm not supposed to. So I hired a property manager right out of the gate. And I remember there was more veteran real estate investors that I was talking to, people at the time that were ahead of me, not ahead of me at this time. And I think that's one of the major reasons that I've leapfrogged over them is because they questioned my decision to bring on property management. They're like, why are you paying him 6% when you can do it yourself? I'm paying him 6% instead of doing it myself so I can own over 500 units and do that in less than 2 years. That's why I'm doing it, because those 500 units are going to bring in way, way, way more money than what I would lose on the 6% of my small 25 unit portfolio, right? And it's the truth. I make a lot more money off those 500 than I would save on the 6%. But I digress. So that's why I brought them on, right? And then don't get me wrong, I have self-managed. My next acquisition after that was a duplex that I house hacked. And so in that instance, there's really no need for property management, right? Because you're living right there. Now you could hire someone to kind of help you with your kind of leases and managing that aspect. But I just used the paperwork from the property management company that I bought my first property from and used that as the lease. And plus I knew that the quality of tenant I was getting in this duplex was an A quality tenant. So I wasn't as fearful of tricks or games that they would play. And plus I'm living right there. So it's harder for them to do it because I am the on-site staff, right? Because I live there. So I did manage that one. And you learn some great things, whether you're managing it yourself or through a third party on the smaller ones, that is. Once you get into the bigger ones, then you have the on-site staff. You get a little more pulled away from the day-to-day, right? You just learn a lot. You learn how people will disable smoke detectors. They will remove fire extinguishers. So you have a violation, so then they don't get evicted. They don't have to pay. I've seen people remove numbers off mailboxes and their doors so they can't get served. They know all the tips and tricks, how to get around things. They know the time frame for the eviction process so they can extend it as long as possible. For instance, it might be 30 days until you have to appear in court. If in 30 days you don't pay, then you have to go to court. So they'll wait the first 30 days. And then if they're evicted, then they'll pay on that 30 day. They just know that the time frame, they know how to stretch it as far as possible. You learn a lot of things. You also learn how often things, what things break more than others, what issues tenants tend to have more than others. You're going to get a lot of HVAC repairs, washer dryer, plumbing, especially if it's an older property. Those are a lot of the common things that break. And so I just think it's great to start off managing yourself. And I think starting off with smaller multis, you get a better feel for it. But again, it all depends what your goal is. What is your goal? Like my goal, and I'm talking this from my own lens, right? From wanting to be an operator, an investor and operator of real estate. For those of you that want to take a more passive approach, for those of you that want to focus maybe not on the operations, but maybe just on you love the hunt of a deal, you want to find the deal, or you love raising capital. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. And you don't necessarily need to know the ins and outs of operations. I get that. But you still should know to an extent when you're partnering with operators, you can get a good feel ahead of time who's good and who's not. But I get it. If that's more of your thing, more power to you. But I want to be an operator of real estate, of multifamily real estate. So for me, starting off on the smaller stuff was essential. At the time, I didn't think it was. I wanted to go big. I get it. More zeros, the better, right? Scale. But for me, it was better. You learn how to, for me, not only manage the tenants, manage the property, but then manage the manager as well. So that when you go up to the bigger scale stuff, you already have that in your tool chest. So let's talk about finding property management company. You obviously, there's a lot of things you want to look for, right? So for me, for my bigger stuff, I use a national company, but they're all are regional players. And sometimes the regional players are better because they really understand that market. They have a niche in that market. They're not national where they're in a lot of different markets. They're in that one or that handful of ones in that area. So they really know what they can get for rent. If you're coming with a CapEx, a value add project, they really know what this type of work will get you in terms of rent premiums, rent bumps. They know this part of town's not great. This part of town is great. You don't want to invest in that property. There's a lot of skeletons in the closet per se. Like there is a lot of positive in that. And then for me, the national, I just loved their systems and processes. And also they had been acquiring smaller regional players. So they still had that regional knowledge, especially they had it in the markets that I was going in. They had acquired smaller regional players there. So they had that market knowledge along with their whole systems and processes that they could scale with. I don't know if you ever read the book, E-Myth. If you haven't, it's one of my favorite business books. But that's what it's about. It talks about how McDonald's was able to scale because they put in systems and processes that were easily repetitive for anyone. Anyone could just plug in and play. And so that's what I loved about this property management company. They had that and it was written down and it made sense. And I could see how easy it was to replicate. That wasn't my first property management. I had a local property management for my smaller portfolio. And I picked them for a multitude of reasons. They had been in the market for decades, had great reviews. That's another thing. Go to your local RIAs or meetups and ask others who they like and don't like. They'll tell you the truth because trust me, when people don't like a manager, property management company, they will let you know. They will. Trust me. That's first and foremost. Obviously, reviews on Google, what they're going to be charging you, how they operate, what systems they have in place, what contingencies they have in place. So for me, it was, I was able to be competitive and get them down to a number I like. I'll never pay more than 6% for property management. Obviously, you pay for what you get, but I come at the angle like, look, I know you normally charge 10%, but I'm going to be growing and growing really fast. I'd love to have you on the team. You're great at what you do, but I need it to be at 6% in order to scale at the pace I want to scale. And that's how I got it. So that they had the systems and processes in place that were in all the markets that I was in. And just, you can get a feel from talking to people if they really know the market. And this team did. So that's how I picked them. Other things you have to look for, especially when it comes to, now I'm going to start talking more about the big stuff, right? But it is interchangeable. But for instance, you want to see how much is on their plate. And when you get into the bigger stuff, you have your regional director. They oversee multiple properties. So they oversee multiple on-site staffs at the properties. So no regional should be managing more than 8 properties. So that's one. I love that. You don't want someone managing 10, 12, 15 properties. That's just too much. Because if you average like 4 employees per property, that's 10 properties. That's 40 properties. That's crazy. You're managing 40 people at 10 properties. They say as a sales manager, which matches up with this number, which is what I really loved it at first, is you should only be managing 8 reps directly. Now you can be like a VP that oversees 8 different managers that then oversee 8 different people. You should never really be managing over 8 people, 10 max, but I say 8 is the sweet spot. And so that was big for me. And this person is all about operations. They should be visiting the property at least once a quarter. But if you're doing a big value add project, they should be visiting, I would say, every other month at the beginning, especially the turnover of if you have new staff, they should definitely be there. And just so everything is cohesive, if with your construction management team, and the property on-site staff and the property management team. It's all about communication. That's what this whole thing that I'm talking about today, if you take anything away, it's all about communication. When you're communicating between your property management, your on-site staff, your construction management, you want to be CCing on everyone on every email possible. I know there's some stuff that some shouldn't get. You need to keep some stuff separate, but in terms of like overall game plan, and implementing things, everyone should be CC'd. You know, I've seen it where, all right, we're using unit two. It's right next to the leasing office. We're going to use that as the model unit to start off. And then next thing we know, a week later, the on-site staff, she had been out the week before. She didn't get the memo and she leased that model. And now we're like, what? Now we got to scramble and find another one that's in a convenient location that we need to do a full turn on so that we can use it for a model. And that put us back another 2 weeks, two plus weeks. And those are the things you can't, or there's no such thing as over communication. Everyone needs to be on the same page. And then also the on-site staff needs to let the property management company know what units are coming up that are not renewing, they're going to be leaving, and these units are going to be vacant. So then our property management team can let our construction management team know which units are coming up. So everything can just be plug and play, streamline, just like at a factory. Everything is just smooth sailing. So that's what's huge, is communication. That can make or break anything. And it's really important when you first acquire the asset to get on a call with all of those parties I was just talking about and set up your guidelines, your expectations, and share the business plan. The business plan is not just for you to be, oh, cool, look, I created a business plan. Oh, yeah, this is how I can sell it to my investors. No, it's even more, obviously, you need to share that with your investors. They need to know what your plan is, but it's more important for those that are actually implementing it. And everyone needs to be on the same page. And that's very important. I feel like that's something a lot of people do not do. They just assume everyone's on the same page. Like, oh, I told the property management company, they'll let the staff know, who will then let construction management, let them know we're on the same page. No, it's your responsibility to do that. Especially as an asset manager, it's your property, you take charge. So that was one of the big things that I learned early on, is that never assume everyone's on the same page. You make sure everyone's on the same page. And then in terms of taking over onboarding, my property management, and I love this about it, they require, there's 4 weeks of onboarding. No matter your position, if you're coming on, especially when it comes to a regional or any role, that there's 4 weeks of onboarding. So not only do you learn the do's and don'ts of how the company operates, you learn the culture, and it's just a good way to make sure everyone fits and you understand what is required of you, what is expected of you. And when we take over a property, not only are we going to show up, but our property management is going to show up with about 8 to 10 staff members that are going to be there for probably for about 2 weeks, anywhere from, you know, 5 to 10 business days, I would say. On average, it's probably closer to the 10. Yeah. So, and they're there, they're getting everything streamlined. They're getting the on-site staff up to speed on how they operate, how the systems they use, the processes they use, and get everyone comfortable and on the same page. And that's important. I've seen others where it's just like you take over and you send an email, memo, introduce yourself, and then that's kind of the transition. No, it needs to be handholding from the beginning to the end of that onboarding. It's very important. So everyone is on the same page from the jump. And then when it comes to actually the management, a lot of people don't realize, but your Google rating is a huge thing. So as soon as you take over the property, make sure you are getting the Google My Business page transferred over to you. And if you're rebranding the property, make sure that name is updated, because there's data on this. When you go lower than a 3.7 star on your Google review, you lose about 80% of your traffic. 80% of your traffic is lost when you go below a 3.7. So we do everything to make sure that our reviews are at 3.7 or higher. You incentivize the tenants to do that. You can do a little like, hey, would everyone leave us a rating review? You're eligible for a gift card. Anytime anyone leaves and has a good experience, we ask them to leave a review. And anytime there is a poor review, we're automatically responding and asking if there's anything we can do. More often than not, if you like take time and show that you're very sorry for whatever occurred and you'll do whatever in your power to make it right, a lot of the times they'll remove that bad review. So that is important. And another thing about, you know, online like apartments.com and different places where you're putting units up, because we all know the biggest killer of operating any property is turnover, especially when that turnover leads to a long time in vacancy trying to fill a unit, right? And that's all about leasing. So when you get into the bigger stuff, you obviously have your property manager and then a leasing agent generally. Obviously, if you get smaller down like 75 units, you might not have both, but 100 plus, you generally have both. Usually it's about one in, one out per 100, right? But sometimes you'll still have the two in. And by that, I mean the manager and the leasing agent. And so one thing that a lot of people don't realize is how important it is to get back to any type of correspondence or any type of reach out, potential tenant, potential customer. We live in a day and age of everything is mobile. Everything's at our fingertips where we can submit an application for an apartment on our phone. And that's how most people do it. And we live in a day and age where everything is so fast. Everyone wants everything right now. And so if they submit, they'll say they shoot out five different loan applications to five different properties. More likely than not, the one that gets back to them the quickest is more likely not going to be the one they're going to go with, right? And so that's why it's so important. As soon as you get a notification that someone submitted an application, you need to be calling them back. And we have guidelines and procedures to follow on how to do that. And we track it, right? Because anything that is not measured is not managed. And so we want to see a call return rate of less than 5 minutes. And I would even say it's even better when you get less than 2 minutes. It exponentially increases. And what I mean by that is as soon as we get a notification that someone submitted an application, you should be calling them back within 2 minutes. And is it perfect? No. Obviously, there's going to be stuff that comes up, but that's what the leasing agent's job is, right? Because that's a warm, that's a hot lead. You need to jump on that immediately before your competition down the road does. So those are the type of things that I look for in a property management company. And that's the type of things as an asset manager, I am overseeing and make sure we're hitting those KPIs, those key performance indicators. And also, as I mentioned earlier in the episode about fair housing laws, you want to make sure that they know this inside and out. In my property management company, they train all of their employees through something that's called Grace Hill. It's a company that does compliance training for the fair housing law. So that's super important to me because you can get in a lot of trouble, a lot of legal trouble if you're not doing that correctly, if you're not abiding by the fair housing law. So that's also very important. And so those are kind of the things I look for in a property manager. And when it comes from asset management, which is very important, right? Because as you're scaling, it's obviously you can't be there every day, especially if you don't live in the market. Like the major markets I invest in, I don't live there. I need to get on a plane to every single one of them. So it's not feasible for me to be, it's literally impossible for me to be at every single property every day. So that's one comes trust in your property management company, but it's also trust and verify. And how you do that is you, one, have weekly to bi-monthly calls with your property management company. Usually when I first take over, a property starts off as weekly and we kind of feel it out. If it's heavy value add, it's definitely weekly with the construction management. Then you kind of feel out, and as you feel things are really clicking and everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, everyone's on the same page, then if I'm comfortable, then I push it out to bi-monthly. So we have it every other week where I'm getting on with my property management, my regional, my construction manager, and then our GP team. We're going over where our lease is at, where we're pre-leased at, where our vacancy, where our delinquency, what we're doing about that delinquency number, where rents are trending, any issues with maintenance, staff, all that stuff. And then on the construction side, talking about where we're at in terms of are we meeting our timeline? And then from a budget perspective, we have a variance report that shows, okay, we're budgeted for 100K on roofs. We actually came in at 95. Sweet. We saved $5,000 under budget. You look at the different categories and where we're trending. We want to make sure we're staying within budget. If less, awesome. And so we're talking about those things. And then we're also getting on the same page of we're going to do the exterior first. I know I've talked about this before. We tend to like doing that because that's when you kind of create that pop in the neighborhood, in the market. Like, because if you're just turning units up first, no one's really going to know that you're making any change. But if you're upgrading the exterior and really sprucing that place up, people are going to be, they're just going to catch their eye like, oh, what's going on here? Let's check this out. This property's not the same anymore. So we start on that first, and then we move our way into the interiors. And that's when you really need to be on the same page, right? Because we need to know what units are coming up. And we need to make sure we have the material ready to go on site to turn those units, to do that renovation. So on those calls, we're making sure we're all on the same page and just making sure if, for instance, I'm thinking about one project where we financed the CapEx. So we need to make sure that through our property management company and their accounting team, the draws are being submitted on time so we don't get to a spot where we're running dry on funds and the draw is going to take too long to get to either pay a vendor or buy supply, right? So that's important. But that's another thing when it comes to construction management. You want to see, are they warehousing that supply for you, which Luckily, ours are. They have a warehouse in the market we're in, which is great. But it's all about being on the same page. I know I'm rambling, but these are some great pointers. And so we do that call starting off weekly. And then once things kind of get in the groove, we'll switch to every other week. And then it comes to actually going on site, because it doesn't matter how many calls you do, there's nothing like going on site. And once everything is kind of up and running, I would say once a quarter is fine to visit every property. But when you first acquire an asset, you're doing a heavy value add or mid heavy value add, you want to go more often. So for instance, one of our properties, one of our most recent acquisitions was back in the fall, and I've been there 4 times. And some of it had to do with, one of the trips, I was going to look at some other properties too, and then I parlayed it into a double trip. But you need to go there more often at the beginning, right? Now, the question is, do you let the staff and property management know? And what I say is it's got to be a healthy mix, because if you're letting them know you're coming every single time, not always, but more often than not, they're going to give you the white glove treatment, right? They're going to make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. There's no trash anywhere. Everything's cleaned and it looks like it's running amazingly, right? Because why wouldn't you? And if you have staff that wouldn't do that, you don't want them working for you. On the other hand, if you never told them you were coming and always showed up unannounced, then they would feel like you don't trust them. And that can create some animosity, create some tension, some awkwardness, and you don't want that either. So I think it needs to be a healthy mix. I would say for every 2 to 3 trips you make announced, you should make 1 unannounced. I think that's healthy, right? You let them know, they do their thing, and then you come 1 time and don't let them know. And then from their mindset, it's like, I get it. They're just doing their due diligence. They're making sure we're doing our thing. And to me, that's a smart way of doing it. And that's what we've done. And it seems to really work, because you're going to catch things. Not that they're deliberately doing things, but there's just sometimes people aren't perfect and they don't realize how important some things are to you. For instance, if I ever see trash by the dumpsters, someone moved out and they just put a bunch of trash, or there's just a bunch of trash, that gets me going, because judge a book by its cover. Perception is everything. And so we need to keep the property clean, because we want to attract the quality of tenants that's important to them. And so if you can't do that, then it's like they say, the little things are how you do everything. And so by showing up unannounced, you can catch those little things that are slipping and let them know that that's not okay. This is not acceptable. This is what we need to do. And then when it comes to actually going to the property, interacting with the staff there, right? This is very important. Always remember there's a chain of command. Is the staff reports to the regional, which is your property management company, and your property management company reports to you. Never overstep that, no matter how bad they may be doing or how bad or how easy it is just to fix it right there. Just remember there's a chain of command, because if you step over that and continue to step over that, what's going to happen is the staff is going to look at it like, oh, the owner doesn't have a lot of faith in property management. Maybe I don't either. I'm not going to listen to them. Yeah, if the owner tells me to do something, I'll do it. I'm not going to listen to the property management company because the owner clearly doesn't trust or respect them. Never want that to happen. You want to make it clear that there's always a chain of command. So if you find an issue at the property, you don't go to the staff and tell them. You go to the property management company and have them tell the staff. That's important. Never step over the chain of command. And then also something that's really cool to do is if there is anything on staff, like cleaning anything up, maybe there's a little paint that something hasn't been painted, why not do it yourself? And to me, that's not overstepping chain of command. That's just showing like, wow, the owner's out there painting his own fence or picking up this trash. Like, it just, like, to me, it's leading by example. It's showing that you really do care, and you care about this property, you care about the tenants, and you care about the staff. You want to do whatever you can to help. And to me, that's really important. And it seems to do a lot of great things. But yeah, that's kind of what I've learned from asset management. It's also important, I didn't even get into really the financials, but make sure your property management company is providing you monthly financials and that you go over these with them 1 to 2 times a month. Really make sure everything is transparent. You want to see all money going in and out, and just make sure we're all on the same game plan when it comes from not only leasing, but management style and what our whole game plan is with the property. I remember one property, from the very beginning, we said what our projections were for rent growth after a turn. And the regional had it, but the regional was away. We were talking with that individual's boss, And he didn't know. And I'm just like, come on, we all need to be on the same page. I know this is not your day-to-day, but there needs to be communication between everyone. If you don't even know what we're trying to get on rent premiums, what are we doing here? I'm not saying you have to know that we're color LVP floor we're putting in or what type of counters, but you need to know what we're trying to get on our turns here so that it can be relayed to the staff so they were always on the same page. That's important. Like I mentioned before, you can never over-communicate. Make sure everyone's on the same page. And if you have to reiterate yourself over and over and over, then do it. Trust me, it's worth it. When you get a project to completion and it went well, man, is it worth it? I hope you all experience that in the future. So that's kind of my property management, asset manager 101. There's way more I could go into on it, but I feel like I'm kind of rambling right now. I just wanted to give you some kind of actionable steps and stuff that I've learned that is way better for me, made us operate very efficiently. In the future, I'll bring on someone from my property management company and kind of do like a interview or like just kind of a casual conversation about stuff. Cause that's really when stuff gets flowing and then you remember other valuable things to bring up. But I hope this was of value to you all. Obviously, if you have any questions, you know how to find me. You can either find me on Instagram at Shauna Wins or LinkedIn, search Sean Winslow. But as always, thank you all for joining. Remember, to me, yeah, you got to buy it at the right price, but you got to manage it right. So if you don't manage it right, it doesn't matter what you bought it. And if you really, truly want to be a real estate operator, investor, achieve financial freedom, time freedom, operations are important. So important. That's how you're going to drive the bottom line. And that's what's going to give you the freedom. All right, everybody. I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.